Wir gerne sehen, was ist los? It's deinen Freundo, Seth. I'm learning German. Yeah, in case you didn't know what that was. That is me trying to impress you with the little German that I know. Right now, I am actually learning German. I took it in high school. I goofed off the entire time. I did some other language learning apps. They taught me things like where the taxi stand is and how to find a bus, but not a lot of conversational German. Thankfully, that's what Babbel is all about. Babbel teaches you language conversationally, which, let's face it, that is what you want to know anyway. I don't know. When I was in school, you learned like how to count. You learned like the colors. You learned the shapes. Those are all important things, but they don't help you when you're in like Cologne, Germany with Ein Nierenstein, which, by the way, is German for kidney stone, an experience I can unfortunately speak personally to. But I've been using Babbel to learn to speak German again, better than I have before. I actually really like it because it is conversational. It's a little bit more relaxed. One of the things that it does that I really like is it'll sometimes show you what the literal English translation is. And I don't know why, but I find that very helpful in sort of understanding the structure, the grammar of a language, and sort of putting myself into that mind space. Since I'm only in Germany for Gamescom, which is like a week, week and a half, I'm not immersed in the German language. I'm not immersed in German culture. So what I do is the second best thing. I'm taking Babbel. Hopefully this year when I go to Germany, I'll be able to impress all the Germans with how much German I know from learning through Babbel. The app has pronunciation recognition, so you'll be able to learn how to speak better with your accent, how to actually properly pronounce the words. That way you won't get made fun of by a group of older German men because you said apple strudel and not Apfelstrudel. No, it's really cool. I'm going to say right now there is a special limited time deal for our listeners. Right now you can get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners, because you guys are the best ones, by the way, at babbel.com/realm. Get 60% off at babbel.com/realm. That is spelled babbel.com/realm. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Visible is a wireless carrier that is not invisible. It is pretty clear from the name. Actually, radio waves are invisible. And I can say this with authority as a licensed amateur radio operator. That being said, Visible won't be giving you the power to see light outside the visible spectrum. It's actually way better because having that ability would make getting around very difficult and distracting. What you do get with Visible is unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You get one line of wireless, just $25 a month, which is great in these times of economic uncertainty. That is one line for $25, taxes and fees included. So whatever you're doing at this moment, please stop. Switch immediately. Now, monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit visible.com.
Listen.
Welcome to Nintendo Voice Chat episode 456. I'm your host, for the final time, Zach Ryan.
Boo.
And I'm joined today by my friends, Per Schneider.
Double boo.
Oh, Brian Altano.
Triple boo.
And Casey DeFreitas.
Quadruple boo.
Oh, you guys really know how to kick a guy when he's down. That's
You're
rude.
You're not down. You're fine.
Welcome to Nintendo Voice Chat. This is the weekly Nintendo show right here at IGN.com, the Imagine Games Network, every Thursday at 3 p.m. On YouTube and on IGN and on all your favorite podcast services. This week, we've got a hell of a show. We're going to make our annual E3 predictions, one of my personal favorite episodes, because then in July, we get to listen back and see who was right and who was wrong.
None of us.
And the person that gets the most questions right gets a whole bag of candy.
Oh.
Yeah.
Is that new? That's a new twist this year.
Yeah.
Like, or you can just go steal a bag of candy from underneath Justin Davis's desk.
There's so much candy.
What,
yeah,
really?
That's insane. Where the candy comes from. Yeah. Actually.
I didn't know
yeah,
this.
Yeah, he's the candy man. Candy man.
Not the murder guy, but just like he just loves to have candy, as it's known.
That's true.
Yeah.
I feel like that guy also
We're also going to talk a little bit about what we've been playing, and we're also going to play a brand new game.
Oh, I don't think this is going to be a game,
new.
Is it?
It's yes, it is. It's not a game that's known to our audience,
okay,
per se, but we're more on that as we get down the road.
Okay.
The old podcast road, they call it.
Welcome to IGN's
That's right.
podcast series.
So, let's start with some news. Right out of the gate, last week it was announced that Devil May Cry, the original Devil May Cry, not the new Devil May Cry, not the rebooted Devil May Cry,
not
but the very first one from the PlayStation 2nd, is coming to Nintendo Switch this summer. And my question to the panel, why? Why is that happening?
We asked them to bring everything to Switch.
Oh.
So, and thus they
Casey
now
has a good theory, I think.
No, yeah. I think the real question here is why didn't they come out with the Devil May Cry HD collection, which came out for the PS3 and Xbox 360 in 2012. Why didn't they just bring all three over?
Because they can get you to spend $20 to $30 on each game over the course of a year.
Not me, sister. I don't like those games.
True. Rather than spend $60 once to get them all. Maybe. Capcom's approach to the Switch has been iffy.
So I wanted to talk about that because Dragon's Dogma, they said that they were bringing it to the Switch, and they had that caveat of, what was it? We might bring another game to the Switch if Dragon's Dogma sells well.
Yeah.
And then they also put out one Resident Evil game.
Yeah.
Revelations 1 and 2. And 2. Mm-hmm.
But I feel like this is Capcom's deal with the Switch. They keep testing the waters and kind of gauging whether or not they want to bring a bunch of their big games over.
Yeah, and then on May 21st, we're getting three more Resident Evil games.
They brought Mega Man 11, but not Mega Man 12.
Yeah.
That's weird.
It's they launched a Street Fighter Championship Collection.
Yes.
And then...
That's right.
Like 6 months later, like another Street Fighter Championship Collection that had like a slightly different stuff in it.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
And then, that's odd.
Yeah. I mean, Mega Man and all that. But it's been mostly retro, yeah.
Yeah. No Disney Afternoon Collection stuff.
Yeah.
They did say they wouldn't put Dante in Smash until a Devil May Cry game was on the Switch, so maybe that's just a way to get it in there.
Okay, that's good.
Have Smash now featuring Dante from Devil May Cry.
That is a good positive spin on this news. Yeah. I did not put it that way.
Onimusha Warlords, that was the one I was trying to think
of. Oh, that's right.
Yeah, they brought one Onimusha game, but not the other two.
And not some of the very good ones.
And Okami.
Okami. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Have you played much Sekiro?
I have, yeah.
They call him Okami all the time.
I no.
Like yeah, we had that. Nice. So you corrected us and explained to us our confusion.
Whenever I leave, you talk about things.
That's true. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
We have to.
Yeah, Okami and Okami. Okami is God and Okami is wolf. Mm-hmm. So it actually works both ways.
And that's the pun Okami. That I never understood.
Yeah. Everybody loves a good pun.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Capcom, this is not new ground for them. They, as we've just discussed, like they've obviously been testing the waters over and over again, but we don't see that from other companies. Why do we think that Capcom specifically is a traditional Japanese company, has a long history with Nintendo, but is still seems 2 years and millions of units sold, very apprehensive to fully support the Switch?
I think that they have realized that people will buy things piecemeal on Switch. We just buy everything on Switch. We are conditioned to. We open the eShop every 3 days to see new squares, and we spend money on them. And then sometimes we play them, and then sometimes we just buy more squares and push the squares down the list.
Mm. As real gamers with a Z and have big cargo pants, how many of these singular drops are going to happen before people start kind of wising up and say enough is enough? We know that these collections exist elsewhere. Please give us like full collections and not the first in the Devil May Cry series.
Well, I mean, take me for example. I'm a huge Resident
no,
Evil
thanks.
Fan. You don't have to. I'm taken. There are three Resident Evil games launching on May 21st, and that's Resident Evil 0 and Resident Evil 4. And they are $30 each instead of the usual $20 where they're available on literally every other platform. And I shook my fist in the air.
Bought them.
Yeah. And then I'll buy them.
Yep.
And so I'm part of the problem. And same thing with something like Devil May Cry. I might be like, oh, I'm not going to do that. And a bunch of people are going to be sitting there being like, we can't support this. We're waiting for the HD collection. But a bunch more will be like, I'm buying it. Mm-hmm.
In the same way that Onimusha is a game that I feel kind of caught a lot of flack coming to Switch because people were so, you know, like, oh, I love this franchise. And then they got their hands on it and were like, oh, actually, this is feeling very, very dated and very old. I just think it's so odd that they would bring this particular entry to Devil May Cry, like why not a D-res version of DMC 5 or something like that?
Well, because it's an easy port. It's certainly easier to port than the HD collection, and then you know you can get the Dante character packed in for Smash Brothers.
I mean, look at what Square just did, right?
Yeah.
They
okay.
Dragged and dropped a whole bunch of essentially mobile and PC ports of you know legacy Final Fantasy games.
I have some things to say about that as well,
but. You bought a bunch, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I bought two of them.
I think that's what it comes down to, right? I think like for to cover their bases, I think they're saying, well, we'll start with the first game and see how it does. And then we'll do the second game and see how it does. And eventually, if somebody buys the third, they'll go back and buy the other ones. And you'll have the ability to buy. They can put out a press release and say, now every Devil May Cry game is available on Switch. Or as many as they can fit.
There you go.
Yeah. Okay. I guess that is a good point from the developer's point of view.
Yeah. Again, not to justify it as a business, because I think it's kind of shady that you can buy those HD collections for much cheaper on other platforms.
It would be especially kind of them for people who purchase the first one if they do come out with the second to give them a discount. But because they did that with some games. Like
they did that with Bayonetta 1 and 2, and they did that with Resident Evil Revelations as well.
Yeah. I like that a lot. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. That's a good point. That'd be great.
So
I think
they could do that.
That would be a very pro-consumer thing to do, and I would appreciate that. Mm-hmm.
Speaking of things that are going to make a lot of money, Detective Pikachu is out in theaters this week.
Yeah. Right.
No real news there. I just wanted
to... Do you guys want a little bit of news.
I haven't seen it yet.
I have tickets. I'm going to go see it by myself on Saturday.
Really?
That's okay. Aw. I'll go with the
kids. I'm trying to think. I saw... What did I see? I saw like a horror movie by myself. Oh, I saw Us.
Yeah.
By myself on a Saturday.
That's not a Pokemon movie, though.
I like to see a movie by myself. The reason that so we have a group of people that goes and sees movies here, like a big group all the time at IGN, and they're going on opening night, and I just couldn't make it on opening night. Mm-hmm. But I want to see it this weekend. So.
Okay.
Yeah. So, projections say that this movie is going to be huge. Do we think that this is the movie that will finally put Endgame down to number two? Or
No, but I think it'll do really well.
I think so, too.
Like, best video game movie numbers.
100%.
More importantly, I think this will be the highest rated video game movie of all time, not including Wreck-It Ralph, which is not technically based on a video game, just celebrates them.
Yeah, it's like tangentially related.
Last time I looked on Rotten Tomatoes, it was above 75.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
IGN, really the Imagine Games Network, gave it an 8.0 for great 0.0, and says, Detective Pikachu mixes humor, heart, and gloriously rendered Pokemon to deliver a simple yet entertaining time.
God, remember when that website used to cover games?
Oh.
Crazy. The things that a lot of the feedback that I've heard is that it is very much a children's film.
Yeah.
But really, really fun and specifically tailored to Pokemon fans, which, how could it not be? But that it's a little bit maybe alienating or off-putting for people that don't know the franchise or didn't grow up with the franchise, because it is so strange. But I do think it's a smart direction to take rather than try to tell the story of like Red and Blue or something.
Right.
I think it's a much smarter mass appeal approach to talk about this one particular Pikachu. Right?
Yeah, I'm actually going opening night, and I don't know a ton about Pokemon, and I'm not a child. But
are you going to take your baby?
I'm going to take a bottle of alcohol,
same size,
and I'm going to have a fun time because all the animals look wonderful, and it looks like a good time.
I think the one complaint I've heard from people in the gaming space about the movie is that it definitely is the spin-off centered around a different version of Pikachu, so you don't get a feel for the Pokemon world, right? Mm-hmm. Like that whole people training with Pokemon, that whole setup is kind of absent.
The Rhyme City in the games, they set it up as a city where Pokemon battles aren't allowed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a thing where like you don't use Pokemon to fight here. This is where we live coexisting. There's no Pokeballs. Pokemon people just live out in the world.
But maybe
it's very different.
But maybe if this does well, we'll get something like that.
Yeah.
That's a little bit more of a traditional kind of...
Is this the beginning of the PCU?
PCU?
Yeah, the Pokemon Cinematic Universe.
I hope so.
People have been theorizing that this and Sonic are the beginning of the Smash Brothers cinema.
Oh, and Mario, too.
There's been so many tweets running around like saying that about how this is like phase one of the Smash Cinematic Universe. And honestly, I'm here for that. Like, that sounds great.
Yeah.
The marketing around Detective Pikachu has been amazing. Ryan Reynolds tweeted out that the movie was leaked yesterday.
Yes.
Linked to YouTube. And the video starts out very convincingly, and then it just turns into an hour and 40 minutes of Pikachu dancing.
Yep.
You should go watch it. It's really cute.
Nobody was upset about that.
No.
Miranda Sanchez has had that video on loop at her desk all day today.
Oh, no.
Noticed. Yeah, she's very excited.
No, I think like at the very least, like we were saying before, like this is a great benchmark for because up until now we haven't had like this is what a video game movie should be like to sort of celebrate the franchise and accomplish something as a film outside of Mortal Kombat, which is like schlocky fun nonsense.
Yep.
Like unabashedly stupidly fun movie, but a bad film.
Yeah.
That's okay. You can like bad films. I like plenty of them. But this is like now can this is something studios can look at and go, this is how you make a good movie based on a popular video game franchise.
Yep. Yeah.
And that's huge.
Speaking of popular movie franchises, we got a lot of information this week from our pals over at Game Informer about Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3. Loosely based on the old Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yes.
Not based on the MCU at all, but they are running their cover story on Marvel Ultimate Alliance for the June issue of GI, but we did glean 21 facts about the game that we did not know prior to their cover story, and I grabbed a few of them here that
is
I
that
just
that your game? Because
out.
That's not a game.
What's that? No.
This is not your game?
No, it's a whole different game, Perry. You got to just keep your pants on over there.
I figured a bulleted list, you'd figure that's a...
No. Okay, so team gain attributes for certain compositions like a Women of Marvel team, including Black Widow, Spider-Gwen, and Scarlet Witch, or a Web Warriors with Miles Morales, Spider-Gwen, and Peter Parker. Others include Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Wisecracking Warriors, Femme Fatales, Defenders, and Midnight Suns. So multiple team bonuses for teaming like characters together or characters that make a team comics or in the MCU.
I dig it.
Yeah, I think that's really clever. The Alliance Entertainment System, Alliance Enhancement System is a web of upgrades that applies to the whole team, described as similar to the Sphere Grid in Final Fantasy X, with nodes unlocked with credits and enhancement points. So like more of an RPG lean than we've seen in previous MUA games.
Yeah, I'd love to hear that.
Yeah. And you're excited because FF10 is your favorite Final Fantasy
game. I do not like Final Fantasy X. I will not be taking questions at the moment.
so crazy.
The Infinity Trials appear as rifts during the first story playthrough and transport players to new locations for tough challenges that give twists and variations on battles and offer rewards for completion and accomplishing particular objectives. They may include wave battles, countdown trials, ability trials, or more. So that's just like a cool like one-off challenge thing that I think is interesting. And then Mark Sumeric, recognized for writing all ages Marvel titles, wrote the game's story and attempts to balance a narrative encompassing aspects from Marvel comics and movies. So my question to you guys is, why is it so hard for me to read stuff that's right in front of me?
I don't know. I mean,
it's kind of small font.
It's clunky. It's a lot of words.
It's a script.
Yeah.
It's not a TV script.
Are you guys excited for the Marvel Ultimate Alliance games?
Yes. Getting there. At first, when it was announced, I was like, nah. And then the more I hear about it, the more I'm getting excited.
Yeah. I think the game, what we've seen so far, looks not great graphically. I think it looks kind of butt.
That's it.
But I am very excited for it because I am a big Marvel guy and I love the old Marvel Ultimate Alliance games.
Yeah.
I feel like most multiplayer co-op games meant to play co-op look kind of not great.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
except for Diablo. Still pretty.
I mean,
still very good. Highly stylized.
It's fine.
Highly stylized though. Yeah.
I like your quote on the box. It's fine.
It's fine. I say that a lot about a lot of stuff.
Blizzard in general has a great aesthetic that they use across all of their franchises. You know,
I guess when compared to other games, you would look at and be like, wow, that's really pretty. They're not that pretty.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I think this is like a fun, cartoony sort of like action beat 'em up RPG.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I'm totally down with this kind of feeling and looking a little arcadey.
Yeah,
so
I'm totally fine with it.
You can play, the multiplayer is up to 4 players. So I wanted to ask you guys, will you play Ultimate Alliance with me after I'm gone?
No.
Does it have online? Yeah.
Come back and do a stream with us, Zach.
Since you're not in the same room anymore.
Who do you play as? Or who will you play as?
God, I'll probably play as Spider-Man. I freaking love Spider-Man.
He's a good
really?
Dude.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's my favorite superhero
ever. Is Wolverine in the game?
Yeah, of course. Is Wolverine in the game?
That's a legal question. Wolverine doesn't show up in like 90% of things anymore.
I think this is such an achievement because they're able to actually get every character from Marvel.
Yeah.
That's true.
It's like this game.
That was popular. Not literally every character. Mm-hmm. That's a tall order, but
like
you know what I mean.
This game and the Lego games are the only games that can actually surpass Marvel's legal entanglements to bring all those characters
together. Well, things are getting a lot simpler now that Disney owns every company.
That's true.
We'll see the Avengers and the
MCU. I'm happy to announce that Disney has recently purchased the Imagine Games Network.
Yes. I didn't know that.
That's right. Yeah. So look forward to our content.
I've actually seen that theory online.
We no longer review 50% of movies coming out.
That's right.
But we will give Mickey Mouse a 10 out of 10.
all right. Enough of this corporate shilling. Let's talk about what we're playing this week. Per, why don't you start us off?
What? I wasn't even number one on the list. I'm playing OTTTD. Mm-hmm. You're playing a little bit of that,
yes,
too?
Yes, Over the Top Tower Defense.
You got it.
Yeah.
So this is actually a game that came out in 2014.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can download it on Steam.
What? A port coming to Switch?
Yes, a port coming to Switch. But it's a welcome one. It's a game that is well-liked, well-reviewed, and well-put together. It's a classic tower defense game where you can literally place gun turrets. It's kind of set in the comic book looking like alien universe, and you basically have to construct your defenses to take on the enemies who kind of march down a path. So really traditional tower defense setup, but it has a lot of upgrades for the different towers. It has a lot of enemy variety where you really have to kind of change your strategy based on the wave that's coming in. I'm digging it.
Yeah, it's a like really fun and kind of funky and hyper stylized, which is what I need for tower defense games, because I think a lot of tower defense games get a little sort of just boilerplate and boring to me.
Yeah,
I like aesthetics in a game in a franchise like a or a sort of a genre like tower defense is so huge for me, and this is something that just clicked immediately because I was like, oh, you guys are like you're having fun here. Let's celebrate that. So yeah, check that out. It's sort of like stealth launched, which is kind of amazing. They were able to keep this game a secret for so long.
Just popped out. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's that's a good one. I'm obviously, you guys know, playing Picross S3 all the time.
No. I did. I played like another 7 puzzles last
night. Did you play multiplayer yet?
No.
You have to play 2-player. Hmm. It's so good.
You know what I did? I accidentally hit my second pro controller and it kicked me. It started a multiplayer thing, but all it did, because I didn't have anyone there to help me, was just leave a cursor on my Picross puzzle that I
sounds lonely,
I couldn't
Brian.
Move away from. It
that
is.
Sounds very brilliant. Anyway, the game's good. Very similar to S2. It just has that color mode, which is nice, but very short.
Sure.
Not a lot of puzzles. And then finally, I went back to Mario and Rabbids.
I never
finished it. I went back. I had to spend some time to find my path, because once you haven't played for months anymore, you're like, where am I? Where am I going to go? It's just so good.
Yeah.
I really, really like this game.
Once again, an unsung gem on the Nintendo Switch. I feel like it doesn't get enough credit.
But most of my time is spent on the other two consoles right now. You know, it is a little bit slow on the Switch. So hopefully we'll get some new stuff. What are you kicking, Casey?
This is funny. I feel like I'm playing the majority of my time on Switch right now.
Really?
I'm spending a lot of time on Switch versus PlayStation right now.
Yeah.
And literally not on PC. I don't even own one. So.
Well, Days Gone just came out. Sekiro just came out. You finished that already, right?
I've been stuck at the final boss for like 2 weeks, and I'm a little bit afraid to go. So full disclosure, I broke my first ever controller playing that game. I did a real rage
slam. On purpose?
Rage? I slammed my controller down and shattered it, and so it's...
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I know. I had to go buy another one, and I've fought him a couple more times since then, but I told myself that this weekend I have to sit down and finish it so I can get it out of my life.
I was like 60% through that game, and then I went on a bunch of work trips, and then I came back and forgot how to play it and just gave up.
Still my game of the year, though. An incredible experience.
Bad temper. Who would have known?
Total side note, but this is a feature I want for every next-gen game is when you haven't played it in a while to come back and it goes like previously on.
Yeah.
And then it just shows you like some stuff
that's
you're doing.
That's
and
good.
And it gives you a quick like, a quick video.
Pokemon Ruby and Sapphire did that.
I love that kind of stuff. Like, because for a pair to go back to Mario and Rabbids and be like, crap, what was I supposed to be doing right now?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like it keeps me from like replaying or finishing games so often.
It was awesome because Ruby and Sapphire had a day tracker. So it would only show you like the previously on when it knew it's been a while before.
That's pretty impressive.
Right.
Yeah.
That's
at least
awesome.
I'm pretty sure it was Ruby and Sapphire.
I like that. Mm-hmm. Even if it didn't do that, I would like that. That's basically it for me.
What about you, Cy Burns?
I have been playing Duck Game.
Okay.
Have you guys played that?
No, yeah, Duck Game is Adult awesome. Swims, right?
Yeah. Duck Game is so much fun.
Just very little.
Duck Game is a game that you and I played quite a bit when it first came out in like 2015 or 16.
Yeah. It's sort of...
it's like Smash almost.
It's a little Smash. Like
a shooter version of it.
Yeah.
It's basically like this like berserk pixel art Smash Brothers with gun style game where everyone is a duck and you cycle through like dozens of very quick stages. Everybody pretty much has one hit kill. And they drop you in these environments that are like vaguely destructible at times and sprinkle different weapons everywhere. And you have to basically grab a weapon and kill the other ducks as fast as possible and be the last duck standing. And it plays out like a TV show that ducks would watch in their weird TV world. It's so nuts. Yeah. And I had kind of forgotten this game came out a couple years ago and it just came to Switch and I put it on the other day and just for like an hour was playing with my wife and we were just laughing hysterically because it's just so stupid. It's just so incredibly like you land in a level and you grab a laser gun and you shoot through the entire level and blow off a duck's head. And then it zooms in slowly like on this hero shot of this pixel duck who's just like, wah. it's great. It's got a great sense of humor.
That's a Brian Altano-ass game.
Totally.
It is very Brian.
It's really good. I've also been playing this game called Agalos. I think that's how you say it, which I had a little difficulty at first because this is a sort of a Monster Boy style game, kind of retro side-scrolling platforming game, totally my jam. But before it got a like sort of a very early patch, the game accidentally
booted. Hey, time out. You're boring, Perry. He's just going to start playing some video games here.
It accidentally booted.
I was looking it up.
Yeah, it accidentally booted into only Japanese. And so I was like, oh, that's difficult.
Yeah.
So I didn't know what I was doing because there's some text-based stuff. But I like it. It's got a sort of almost Zelda 2-style upgrade system, big branching overworld. Yeah.
Cool.
It's totally my jam. It's called Agalos.
I've been playing... I talked a bit about Final Fantasy XII last week, but I'm about 12, 15 hours into that now. And that game... It might be like a top three of all
really?
Time game for me. I love Final Fantasy XII so much.
It's one that I abandoned when it first came out. Mm-hmm. I probably played like a good 15 hours or something.
Yeah. It's crazy to go back and play it now because it feels so modern in its systems.
Really?
And it feels like a game that could come out right now.
Because it has that like, more Xenoblade-y combat system, right?
It's more live action.
It's like...
Things happen on the map rather than
And the writing is really amazing and the story is very good, and I'm really having a great time with it. And the upgrades in the Zodiac Age, this version,
remember the story being a lot more political.
It's super political and it's a lot less melodramatic, and all the dialogue is all sort of old English, and like it's very, very cool.
Hey, if I was to ask the table a question for the audience, if you had to pick one Final Fantasy
12.
Game to buy on Switch.
12, for sure.
12?
Yeah. It's the one that feels the most modern
Final
to me.
Final Fantasy 14 Online, if it existed for the Switch.
It doesn't exist.
I'm going to say Crystal Chronicles when it comes out, but it's not here yet.
Wait,
I would say 6.
They just stopped talking about that.
They announced that game like last September. I think it was like at a Nintendo Direct, and then we just heard nothing.
Yeah,
it's coming still.
I want Final Fantasy.
They've been rolling them out slowly.
You know, actually, I want Final Fantasy Chocobo Tales.
That's everybody.
I'm saying the
one I'm thinking of.
Yeah, the one you're thinking about is
so
everybody.
All of our picks aside from Jack's are games that are not available on Switch yet.
No, 10 is good. I really
nice
like
work,
10.
Team.
That's on there.
Chocobo Tales was a deck builder. It was cool. I liked it.
Wow, that was weird.
Sweet.
So you're liking 12?
I love it. I love it so much. Highly, highly recommend it. It's a little steep. I would wait maybe for a price drop unless you're a super fan like me.
$50
it's full price. Yeah. We got a lot of stuff. We caught a lot of flack last week for talking about like the Nintendo curse, but this game also came out at full price on PlayStation 4, so I apologize and rectify that statement. It's not about being on Nintendo. It's just that it's on a new platform that it's this expensive. So
also,
it will drop in price.
It was $50 on those platforms a few years ago, right?
That was 2016,
Or
2017 when it came out, Zodiac Age.
And the Nintendo curse still applies.
I think it could go a little cheaper. I think it could go down a little bit.
The other game that I've been playing quite a bit of is I'm working my way through the story mode of Mortal Kombat 11.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'm a person that has never cared a hoot about Mortal Kombat, and I watched our Mortal Kombat lore in 5 minutes to catch up on the story, and then started playing the story mode in this game, and the story mode in 11 is freaking awesome. Mm-hmm. It is so cool. It's like the Fast and the Furious of video games. It's just over the top and crazy, and you play as a bunch of different fighters, and it's great. Like, I'm having a really, really good time.
Even on the Switch.
It looks like a blast.
Looks like butt on the Switch, but that's okay.
Yeah. Are you playing it there?
Yes.
Oh, I am.
Me as well.
Liar.
Yeah, I'm playing it on PlayStation.
I don't believe it. But it's okay. You're allowed to own other consoles.
No, not on the Nintendo show. Casey, what are you playing?
A lot of tabletop BS and Smash.
Tabletop BS is
like
actually my new favorite.
Actual tabletop
Switch
games? Or like
Dungeons & Dragons and Dungeons & Dragons Pokemon Edition.
I had to explain D&D to my wife yesterday.
It's fan-made, yeah.
Because she was like, wait, do people just sit around a table and telling each other stories? And I had to explain it.
Doesn't your wife know what you do for a living?
No. Like, and my son who plays D&D, my son who plays D&D like every weekend was sitting in the back. He didn't say a freaking word.
Whoa,
he's just quiet
and
puts in his headphones. He's like, I'm not explaining anything.
He sold you out.
That's a teenage age. Aww. Yeah. But she thought it sounded really dumb.
Is your son's voice really that deep?
No, it's not dumb at all. Yeah. It's awesome. D&D
is your son's
amazing.
Voice really that deep?
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, what else?
Now it is.
Smash?
Yeah.
Okay.
Smash is... It's one of those games I come home and it's super late and I have like an hour before I have to go to bed. And it's like, I can play a few runs back.
Who's your main?
I switch between Pikachu and Piranha Plant.
Okay.
And then sometimes Pichu.
I'm these days I'm maining Young Link and Corrin.
I do a little bit of Corrin too. Yeah.
I was wondering if you had switched to Joker or not.
I tried Joker out a little bit. I didn't vibe with him immediately like I did with some of the other characters.
Mm-hmm. I don't like his special attacks. Mm-hmm. And I don't like his up B because it's at an angle. It doesn't go straight up, which is a little difficult. Mm-hmm. And I'm not super keen on some of the stuff that he does for his specials. It's weird to like wait to summon Arsene to get like a whole second round of specials, mm-hmm. but a lot of people really love him though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was feeling a little bit, his kit was feeling a little bit basic to me compared to some of the other characters.
Mm.
Yeah. That's fair. Mm-hmm. E3 is just over 4 weeks away. We're about a month from, actually, wait, is today the 9th? Today is the 8th.
I don't know.
So we're
no
one,
way of knowing.
We're 1 month and 1 day away from our kickoff mm-hmm. live show at E3 2019. That's Sunday the 9th. We're going to stream the Microsoft and Bethesda press conferences, have a bunch of demos in the middle.
Oh, you're going to join us?
Tune in to IGN. I'll be there. I'll be in the comments. I won't be there in person, but I'll be there in spirit. So, but I also will be there in person, but just not with IGN.
All right.
I want to talk a little bit about our Nintendo 3D E3 predictions. They can be in 3D too if you mm-hmm. want.
Okay.
But
just leak the new system.
Let's go kind of round robin, like it's Christmas time, and mm-hmm. we'll each tell one prediction, and then we'll discuss. So, Per, why don't you start us off with your first prediction? Yeah.
All right.
You're just at that end of the table, you know?
Okay. So, let's get it out of the way. Animal Crossing is going to be the focus, and I think Pokemon is there. Well, you guys can talk more about that. But I'm saying that the press conference opens with a new Smash Brothers character reveal.
And it's
all about bold predictions, right?
Sure.
If you guys have watched the show every year, I don't like to do the easy predictions. I'm saying Leon Kennedy and Claire Redfield are going to come out.
Ooh.
And it's going to be
like
the
two-pack, like an ice
two-pack. Two-pack. You can switch. They're just different. Yeah, they're just different costumes.
Cool.
It's the same face.
Same face.
<It's> just,
Resident Evil 4, Leon Kennedy would be awesome because he does like suplexes and like backflips. And
they got the gun from far away, and it'll be the Raccoon City police station for the stage, and Mr. X will be an assist trophy who follows you around.
Cool.
The entire battle.
That's
and
a great idea.
They'll announce it's available now. And
imagine if the costume swap, because they have so many different costumes in Resident Evil, but if one of the costumes was their 32-bit pixelated costumes.
Oh,
that'd be so cool.
Yeah. Love that.
Brian, what about
Barry?
You?
Obviously, huge year for Link's Awakening. That's the newest 2D Zelda game based on the best 2D Zelda game, arguably, that's what I say over here. And so I think we're going to get a ton of information about it. I think we're going to get a launch date. We're going to get a price, amiibo support, including showing off brand new amiibo. And I also think that game is going to get a new mode, some sort of new thing, not necessarily like a multiplayer mode, but something that really sort of adds value to the fact that I think they will justify selling this for $60. And that might feel like a little much for an old remake of a handheld game, but a lot of things will help sort of move that along.
But you will buy two.
I will buy
digital
the game every
and physical.
And physical. And yeah. I will, if there's like collector's editions in foreign lands, I will buy those as well.
Awesome.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay, so the last couple of Nintendo Directs out of E3 have opened with these like big bombastic games and openings. And so last year it was Daemon X Machina. This year, my first prediction is that the press conference opens with Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3 to kind of cash in on any sort of residual MCU fever and also the idea that it's just this big third-party initiative from Nintendo. And the first thing that we see are the Guardians of the Galaxy in that trailer. And that's what kicks off their press conference.
I like that.
Okay. I like it.
Cool. Also, I should say, somebody out there in the Nintendo Voice Chat podcast forums or on Twitter or wherever you choose to watch this show, listen to it, take notes. Let us know afterwards who got the most right.
Because we can't possibly keep this.
Look, we're not going to do it. We're just not. But if you guys out there want to play, you guys can choose who you think will win this brawl, if it's Pear or Brian or myself.
I kind of want to dig up last year's predictions and see.
I listened to last year's predictions episode, and it was myself, Sam, Sydney, and I forget who the fourth person was, but we did not do very well. We did not predict good. So,
I like that you guys make little sounds.
Casey, go ahead.
I got rid of my more outrageous predictions, I think.
That's okay.
But, My first prediction is that Animal Crossing will be the focus on the show floor.
Yes.
Every year at E3, well, since Breath of the Wild, Nintendo has chosen one game to really be the focal point of the show floor.
Mm-hmm.
And last year, it was Smash.
Mm-hmm.
And what was it, the year before
Odyssey.
That? Was Odyssey. And the year before that was Breath of the Wild.
Breath of the Wild.
So this year, it's got to be Animal Crossing.
Yeah. You can take pictures with all the animals and all that junk.
That I'll be able to shake a tree and get fruit, money, or a couch.
You can probably shake a tree and make someone throw something into the camera frame and it'll look like it. You can fake it, is what I'm saying.
Close enough. That's all I need. Thank you. Perfect.
Yeah, I also have that Animal Crossing is their major focus as one of my predictions this year. I think that more so than any of the other big franchises that they're talking about in 2019, Animal Crossing is the real, like, mainstream appeal game that they've got going, so it makes sense that it would be there.
Do you think they'll proudly announce microtransactions?
Yes.
Microtransactions?
Finally, Michael has joined the party.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, back to you, Pear.
Oh,
next prediction.
Me again. Next prediction is for the shareholders. Nintendo will introduce a new name and a U.S. release for its cloud gaming service that has only soft launched in Japan. Right now, you can get like one-off cloud versions of games like Resident Evil 7. For the U.S., they will launch with DMC 5, RE7, Ace Combat 7, AC Odyssey, Shadow of the Tomb Raider, and Monster Hunter World, just for Casey.
That's a lot of Capcom support.
That's
there.
A lot of Capcom support, wow. And I think that's how Capcom will justify releasing some of their janky games like DMC1 as well, but having DMC5 for streaming. Now, obviously, it's kind of an odd thing that you can't play these games on the go. You have to be connected to Wi-Fi. But we'll see. Nintendo said they wouldn't show new hardware at the show, but you know, if they're showing some sort of performance version in the future, maybe you'll have some 5G built in or something for on the go play.
Cool. Brian, your next prediction.
I have a little good news, bad news. Nothing from Metroid Prime 4.
Oh,
I know. We kicked off the year finding out that game's getting, you know, sort of thrown back to Retro Studios in a sort of remarkably transparent reveal from Nintendo saying, hey, we got some news and it's not good news. Retro just posted some job listings for animators working on that game. So that is a very, very long ways out. Keep in mind, the literal only thing we've seen from that game so far is the number 4. And the word Metroid, and then like Arial bold font that said coming to Switch.
I asked a friend who covered Nintendo with me for many, many years about this on the phone the other day. I asked, when do you think Retro found out that they were developing Metroid Prime 4? And he said,
January.
When they announced it.
Yeah.
But I will say that I do think that Samus Returns, which was on 3DS a few years ago, will be announced for Switch.
I'll play that game again on the old big television.
I will too. Cool. Yeah. I think that's a good sort of consolation prize. I don't want to say Metroid Prime Trilogy yet because I just don't feel like that they're ready to do that, but I'd love to be proven wrong.
Okay.
Staying with the Metroid theme, I will counterpoint you by saying that...
Objection!
thank you. Metroid Prime 4 cinematic trailer, but no gameplay.
Ooh.
And that will... soft close their show.
That's how they originally announced Metroid Prime 1. Cinematic.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Oh, you mean just like a hero shot of Samus?
Samus.
Yeah. Camera spinning around. I'm in it.
Wow, that's very good. We all had music there.
But you said
just
no.
Do that the whole time.
No Prime Trilogy, huh?
No. Well, I mean, that very well could be, but at this point, like, I'm so sick of predicting Prime Trilogy and getting it wrong. I had it down in my notes, and I was just saying that, like, I just can't predict it again and be let down again because, like, there are a few games that I want more than Metroid Prime Trilogy on my Switch.
Cool.
I love Metroid so much, and I wish those games were available anywhere. But, yeah, that's I'm tired of making that prediction.
Okay.
Casey? Metroid Prime Trilogy.
I think we're going to see some Pokemon Sword and Shield gameplay. Probably during the Treehouse presentation that they do after the main Nintendo Direct.
Right.
That's usually where they put Pokemon for some reason.
Yeah, they like quietly sneak a bunch of announcements out in that thing too.
Yeah. Like for example, Pokemon Sun and Moon, they announced it in February and then showed extensive gameplay in the early game during Treehouse after their Nintendo Direct. So
okay.
I think they're gonna do the same thing with Sword and Shield. It's a boring prediction,
that.
I'm sorry, but
no, yeah. That's a good one.
I
think that like there's another chance that it doesn't show up at all. So I like your version that it does.
Yeah.
Mr. Schneider, prediction number 3.
If you're hoping for a new Pikmin game, you'll be disappointed, but luckily they will be announcing Pikmin 3 coming to the Nintendo Switch.
All right,
it'll be an updated remake with some new stuff in it, and it will come to the Nintendo Switch in the fall. And they're releasing this because they need to keep the franchise alive. And obviously, you know, they've got their character in Smash Brothers, but we haven't seen anything from that franchise in a while.
Where the hell's Pikmin 4?
It's still in development.
Hmm.
It's
there's too much
Miyamoto
stuff.
Said it was running around done in Miyamoto's in like 2016.
Garden. Yeah.
It's been a long time.
The Pikmin are slowly carrying it here.
Yep.
It takes them a long time, especially the purple ones.
But you'll get to Replay 3, which is an excellent game, and there'll be some really cool new stuff in it
that
you'll enjoy. And if you want, you can...
Rebeat it.
Yeah, he did.
Loved it.
That's true.
If you want, you can use it with Labo VR, but it won't work.
Got it. Mm-hmm. It will make you throw up.
That's right.
Is Pikmin 3 best Pikmin?
I think 2 is better.
Really?
Yeah.
I think 1's the best one.
I think 1 is also really good.
Yeah. I like the one on 3DS.
I think they're all good. 3's just very pretty.
It's okay.
Yeah, 3 does look very good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Brian, prediction number 3.
My prediction is that Respawn will announce that Apex Legends is coming to Switch.
Yeah.
They talked about wanting to do that. Just this morning, a mobile port of that game is announced.
Oh, mm-hmm.
If it could run on phones, it could run on Switch.
That's right.
So that game will come along. They're sort of seeing a drop in players, not surprisingly, because billions of people jumped on that game in the first month. And I think that's a good place to sort of spark it up, as the kids say.
There it is. Yeah, I think that's a really good one. And in the same way that we saw Fortnite on Switch shortly after Fortnite came to mobile, I think you're absolutely right. They'll scale that down to,
Yeah, and Fortnite is like regularly one of the most downloaded games on Switch.
Yeah, it's incredibly popular.
And Apex Legends is super fun.
Yeah. And
so congratulations, Switch owners, if that comes true.
Welcome addition for fans of the genre.
Wow.
I kept it safe this year with my predictions. Mm-hmm. I think I'm going to do pretty good.
Yeah. All right.
I think you'll do well.
My next prediction, and I'm sorry, Casey DeFreitas, no Pokemon Sword and Shield at E3 this year.
What?
Their focus is predominantly on Animal Crossing. However, we will get a Sword and Shield Direct in August.
Ooh, I saw SS around, Direct, and I was wondering who let in the Nazis.
Jesus Christ. You know you're the only one on this panel that can make that joke?
SS Direct.
Stop.
It's ingrained. That's all, you know, justifiably. We covered in school.
What, and you can't
grown
do,
up in
you
Germany.
You can't triple down on the joke. You just got to walk away from it.
You made this podcast take a hard left, Pear.
No, it's...
On my last episode.
You can't...
He's not even wearing his anti-Trump shirt.
That's true.
Right there. Do you have a shirt with little gears, or is it like...
They're flowers.
Flowers.
Yeah, flowers are the gears of the field.
That's right. They're the gears of the heart.
That's a bold prediction, because that's a really big holiday. Title for them.
Yeah.
Kind of weird to not have that E3.
They have so much other stuff on this year that I think that they can save Pokemon as like their big holiday release in their back pocket and they have enough to talk about it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Ms. DeFreitas.
I think we're going to get release dates for Animal Crossing, Link's Awakening, and Luigi's Mansion 3.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or at least just a month that they will be coming out, if not concrete release dates.
So do you think like their direct is very firmly rooted in the games we've already seen. Just kind of.
I'm sure there will be some surprise announcements for some games, but I have no idea what they could be, and I'm not going to guess an existing IP. So I hope we see a new IP.
Can we pause to reflect real quick about how much of an amazing trio of games that is?
Yeah.
Like,
it's nuts, dude.
Hot damn.
This year, like, everybody talks about the first year of the Switch as like the Halcyon days.
Yeah.
This year is loaded with awesome games.
I mean,
and we've already got. What do you mean?
Because it's you first year and Mario and Zelda in it. Like that's it.
First the Nazi thing, and now this.
Yeah, but you can't beat that. Mario and Zelda in the same year.
I can. This year I'm getting Resident Evil 4, Animal Crossing, and Link's Awakening on Switch.
Resident Evil 4?
Yeah, one of the greatest video games of all time. Check out IGN.com, the Imagine Games Network.
Yeah.
I love Resident Evil
Schneider.
4.
Maybe you started it.
Yeah.
But I played that.
What?
I'm so mad at myself. I'm so mad at myself for coming up with the idea to call Per Schneider when I'm mad at him on my last episode. All right, Schneider, whatever you say.
All right, very good.
It's your prediction, Schneider.
Well, I'm saying that they need to have a new game announcement. And so since
Resident Evil 5.
Zackles. It'll be Resident Evil 4.
Zackles?
Because Retro Studios moved on to working on Metroid. Their last game is done.
Mm-hmm. It has to be shown now. It has to be announced. And since we've talked about this Star Fox GP thing so many times, and we haven't seen it yet, if it's not that, I'm going to say it's Donkey Kong 65.
Okay. So like whatever the sequel to Donkey Kong
might be. That's the biggest franchise that hasn't moved back 3D like Mario Odyssey or any of their big titles again. And I feel like they entrust Retro with Donkey Kong. Maybe Retro will give us Donkey Kong.
Wait, so you're saying that Retro will give us like the Breath of the Wild version of Donkey Kong?
Not Breath of the Wild, but more like the Banjo-Kazooie version of it.
Somewhere out there, Barrett Courtney's doing a goddamn backflip.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it'll be better than Donkey Kong 64 because every game is.
True.
Yeah.
Brian, your next prediction, please.
Don't tell about the Barrett.
Prediction number four.
Okay, here's where it gets a little crazy again. Super Mario 64 HD will be announced for the Nintendo Switch.
Super Mario what? 64 HD.
Not 65.
Super Mario 64 HD.
I feel like we really want that to happen.
This is in like Zach's category of we've said it so often we should stop saying it because it's just disappointing when it's not there.
Yeah.
You think this is like...
But I'm going to say it again.
This is like the Grezzo treatment to Ocarina and Majora's Mask where they update the textures and make little quality of life improvements.
Yep. You just assigned a team to my dream. So.
But didn't they already do that in
Almost
Odyssey?
Almost as if it was a dream team.
That's Odyssey. That's not 64.
Odyssey had like a 64 world.
Spoilers. Yes, it did. Spoilers.
That game's 2 years old.
You're 2 years old.
Come on. Yeah. All right. So
you think 64 before Sunshine?
Yeah.
I feel like Sunshine we haven't seen.
Yeah.
Pearls ages. Before Swine.
Okay, fine.
No,
fair enough. That's not how that expression works.
Yes. Sunshine is
before
Sunswine.
That's not it.
Okay, my next prediction.
Gears are really falling off the flower field right now.
Yeah. my next prediction goes hand in hand with your last prediction, but is a little more specific. I think that we will get Luigi's Mansion 3 release date, and that game will be coming in mid to late October to celebrate All Hallows' Eve.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah.
For sure.
I like that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
That's, okay. that's a safe but very good bet.
Also, Luigi's Mansion might be my most anticipated Nintendo game for the rest of the
really?
Game.
What?
I can't wait for that game.
You have a Link's Awakening tattoo.
That's true. But I've already played Link's Awakening.
Over Donkey Kong 65.
Yeah, over
over Pokemon Donkey Kong. SNS.
You
do have the... I didn't want to tell anyone.
Pokemon SS.
You have the vacuum backpack.
Oh, I see.
From Luigi's Mansion.
Yes, I do. Yeah.
Tattooed across your back.
That's right. I'm right across the tramp stamp.
It's your last
week. It's actually
tattoo. Okay, Casey, your fourth prediction, please.
Super Smash Bros. Ultimate, now featuring Dante from the Devil May Cry series.
Okay, touch
on that
a little bit.
Downloadable.
Yeah.
It was written in the stars.
Yeah.
So wait, that's two Smash Brothers characters we made up? Or 2.5 sort
2.5,
of?
2.5, yeah.
Yeah, interesting. I'm into that.
Wait. Okay, yeah.
Perry, your
final... It's me again.
It's time for your final prediction.
So I think the conference will end with a teaser for Metroid Prime 4. I think they will have a cinematic because Retro is super speedy. And, you know, secretly they've been making fan art of Samus on the Switch, and so they're going to roll that out while eating barbecue, and then they will in that teaser they'll say coming in 2021 or something really disappointing, and then they'll say record scratch, but also from Retro Studios, and then you didn't want to predict it, but I think they will reveal Metroid Prime Trilogy with absolutely gorgeous graphics at that moment also coming.
Yeah, great.
Yeah,
that's a good one.
Yeah, I
left it off of my list because I knew somebody else would predict.
But strategy. I don't want to be disappointed. But I had to add that. That's a great way
we
to
know
close
it's
it up.
There. And we
it
know
will
it's
be
coming.
And it will be this holiday because we haven't played a Metroid game in a while.
That's true.
That's true.
Yeah.
Not since Samus Returns.
I hope it's one of those, and it's available right now.
Oh God, that would be so cool.
They're not going to do that.
Anyway,
I have two small ones. My first small one is Reggie Fils-Aimé will appear as a Force Ghost. Number two, this is very boring PR.
Yes.
Nintendo will update its plans to bolster the value of Nintendo Switch Online via new exclusive games, classic games, and services.
Very good, Brian. That sounds like a Nintendo press release.
That's a very safe bet.
Did you write that every game is coming to Switch Nintendo?
I did.
Direct?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They're all coming?
That's
good. That's a checklist, by the way.
My final prediction is that the one more thing that they do at the end of this year's press conference is a new 2D Mario game that is not in the new Super Mario Brothers series.
Ooh.
It is more along the lines of like Super Mario Brothers 4 or Super Mario World 3 or something like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, they've been playing around with art style so much. I mean, just seeing Link's Awakening, how different that looks from other games they've done.
Mm-hmm.
it is about time that they came up with a new art style for Mario.
Yeah.
You know, the last big one was Paper Mario, maybe?
And I
the
think
biggest
it'll be,
change?
I think it'll be more tactile, like we've seen with Yoshi and like we've seen with Kirby.
Do you think they would announce that like a week and a half or 2 weeks before Mario Maker 2 comes out?
I hadn't considered that, but that's a really good point. Thank you.
You never know.
Yeah.
These are
be so different. It'll be like Space Mario.
Yeah. And
maybe
they could also be like
maybe they'll show
out
some sort of new art style in Mario Maker and people will be like, "What's all this about?" And then it's the new Mario game.
Oh man. I like it.
Yeah.
By the way, none of us predicted any sort of update to the OS and
it's cuz it ain't coming, baby.
Themes.
Black, white, and now gray.
I predicted updated plans to bolster the service and value
of
Nintendo Switch Online for classic games.
You can now pick colors
Thank you.
As your background.
All right, Casey, what do you got?
Your final prediction.
My final prediction is that we will not see Daemon X Machina at all because it's delayed till 2020.
Whoa. Why?
Daemon?
It's because that game is bad.
Oh.
Yeah. It's because so last year when they announced it, they said it was coming out in 2019, and it wasn't in any of Nintendo's financial briefing mentions. So...
Well, they put the demo out there to sort of be like, try this and tell us what you like and don't like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And
I did.
Zach did. And then
I wrote him back. I said, this game is AS.
You didn't.
You didn't actually.
No, I didn't.
It was not.
I didn't actually.
It was just, it felt slow.
Yeah. I did
At least
it out.
In the demo. Yeah. We don't know what happens
you did
when
fill
you
it
upgrade.
Out?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's. Mm-hmm. I didn't know anybody actually did that.
I filled it out too.
Yeah.
She wrote three paragraphs, and the first letter in each paragraph spelled out the word AS.
I wrote a 3,000-word essay complete with callbacks to different resources on the internet.
She linked back
really?
For SEO.
No.
I
but I did write quite a bit.
Yeah. I believed you for a second there. That seemed credible. That seemed like something Casey would do.
It does, 100%.
Mm-hmm. And those, it was PS dragons.
Yeah. It needs more dragons.
Needs dragon mix. Mm-hmm.
Those are some good predictions. I'm very proud of you all. You did great.
We didn't go as crazy as usual.
No, that's true. So there's a couple of things that are very wish listy here, but I think that overall we made some pretty good predictions.
Nintendo's
I'm excited to
here.
Hear from you guys in July. I want to know what we got right and what we got wrong, and who's going to win the candy. Who's going to win the candy?
So maybe
wins.
We'll be able to bring you back from your new gig.
Maybe, yeah.
If you're allowed to, if they let you out.
I've got
to
figure that out.
Okay.
But because I've got a couple things in the works that I would like to talk about maybe coming back and guesting for. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, we can make fun of
your
Can
you tell NBC where you're going?
Not until Monday.
Oh.
Yeah, I can't, yeah.
Well, okay. We'll tell you about Zach next week behind his back.
Sure. Casey.
What?
There you are. I don't know why I went to you for this transition, but here we go. If you are an IGN fan, you know that we have several podcasts, Nintendo themed and otherwise. One of them being Game Scoop, where that catches all the games news. And a very popular segment at Game Scoop is the 20 questions game that often ends the game or often ends the show. Damon Hatfield, host of Game Scoop, is out this week on a vacation, but he has graciously allowed us to take up the reins and play 20 questions here on Nintendo Voice Chat. So
I think Sam just joked about it on last week's Game Scoop, and then that happened.
So you got you got the license?
That's right. We've purchased it from Damon at an exorbitant cost.
It's a game.
Reporting it to
Switch. Three whole bags
this
of
is,
candy.
This is actually a game.
Okay.
But
you can't let people see your notes now.
Without further ado, the game's not in the notes. I've got the notes on the phone.
Oh, okay.
So I'm going to have to do like one of these.
Side note, I told Zach that the game should be question block.
Okay.
That would have been really good. That would have been really good.
It's really good.
It would have been super hard.
Now, I will say...
What console is it on? None.
We did some outreach and asked people to write in with their suggestions for 20 Question Game, and we got just an overwhelming response.
Can I reword that? Zach, in his last few days, asked thousands of people to send us one-word emails.
That's true.
Yeah.
This week's suggestion comes from me, because it's my last episode, so get out of here with that. I don't care.
Wow.
Wait, so we got all those emails for nothing?
Yeah, that's right.
Thank you for sending them.
Way to go, chumps.
So good, he's gone.
Sick burn. Okay, let the questioning begin, friends.
So obviously, it's a Nintendo-themed podcast, so we're not going to ask the stupid, like, is it on a Nintendo console question, but did this game come out... before the year 2000?
No.
Wow.
Is this a...
So GameCube era on.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Is this a first-party Nintendo game?
No.
Oh. Well, that was it. That's all I
have. Is it a JRPG?
No.
Was this game on the Wii series of consoles?
No, but very clever questioning. Well done, Schneider.
Oh, the down. Wii series. Mm-hmm. I like that.
So it's got to be GameCube, Switch, or the DS or 3DS series mm-hmm. of consoles.
Was this a
unless this was a dumb mobile game?
Was this a handheld game?
No.
Oh, okay. So we're in GameCube or Switch territory then, unless a very late. There were like two games in 2000.
Why do you think that this has to be a Nintendo game?
Like, because with this, like, it's a Nintendo podcast.
But you know this man.
No, he said he was using the Twitter and he told he yelled at people for not submitting Nintendo games.
Okay, good,
so it
good.
Has to be a Nintendo game.
But look at his face.
I don't face always looks like this.
I don't trust him. If you're listening to this show, he looks really shady.
Yeah, he's like 30% Waluigi right now.
Okay.
Wow.
Is this game on the GameCube?
Yes.
Oh, okay, good.
Third-party GameCube game. I think it's Skies of Arcadia Legends, but I'm not.
It's you not a JRPG.
It's not a JRPG. She's right.
I've never played the GameCube.
Oh.
What?
No, that's not true. Of course I have.
Okay. Third-party GameCube.
Out of this.
Is this, can I do a genre question?
Yes.
Is this game a shooter?
No.
Okay, so
what?
We're ruling out.
There's like that's like two games.
We're ruling out first person shooter, third person shooter.
Yeah, the GameCube ruled out first person shooter.
No, there were a lot.
Time Splitters,
all Geist. The Bond games, Geist. There were a lot. There were a lot. Yeah.
There's four games.
This is not Geist.
I think you took a question and you threw it right in a volcano right there.
That's not right.
Yes.
You just forgot how many it had.
There was like literally
Geist,
four.
Guys, please.
Rogue Squadron is a shooter.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is a shooter.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a flight simulator about X-Wing.
Can you play as a female character? That face is unsure.
I think he's just
I'm going to give you a pass on that one because I am unsure. I think maybe.
So can I get a different question?
Yes.
Cool.
You know what it might be? It might be Monkey Ball.
Do you have customizable characters?
No.
Okay.
You just don't remember if you can play as Crystal in Star Fox Adventures.
How many questions are we up to?
That was question eight.
But it's not it's not a first party.
He doesn't know that.
Did we figure out the perspective, first person, third person?
No.
Is this a third person game?
No.
Ooh.
Did the pause mean
okay,
something?
But
it's not a shooter.
Is it first person? It could also be a 2D side scroller. Is third person, like a 2D side scroller? I'm looking on in the third person.
That's true.
Just making
it could
sure.
be. True. What if it's a card game or something?
Got you there.
If you're considering 2D side scrollers,
yeah, third person games.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
That's iffy. That's debatable.
What it sounds okay, like it's a 2D. It sounds like it's a 2D side scroller. I think we got him there. Good one. That was without even using a question. Nice work.
This better not be like something obscure like Muteki Bakunetsu Bangayo.
It's relatively, it's well known, I would say.
Okay, mm-hmm. So there's a side scrolling.
Do you guys want to specifically ask that question?
What?
Just to make sure.
I think it is. We watched some Squirm over there. It's got to be, right?
Is it a side? Do you want to ask that
ask
question?
Ask him. Yeah.
No, we use it. Hold on.
There's four side scrollers on GameCube.
We found out there's a third party GameCube game.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Not with customizable characters. He doesn't know if you can play as a female character.
And it's not a shooter.
It's not a shooter, and it's not first party.
So we have to start thinking about, I would invite the class to start thinking about side-scrolling GameCube games.
But that might lead you into a territory where you're like completely wrong and you'll never come back.
I'm just going to ask, is it a 2D side-scroller?
Yes.
See?
I'm just wanted okay. to make sure.
It's all right.
We knew it.
Okay, so back to before.
Concrete answer. Yeah.
Let's start thinking about 2D side scrollers on GameCube.
Okay, well, there's the Yoshi Story, which is first person shooter.
What? What?
Wait, that's
so many things wrong with that
GameCube.
Statement.
Well, that was the previous console.
What about a Kirby game?
No, that's a first party game.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, you're right.
Yeah, no first party.
But there was a Kirby game. Unlike
so. My brain is telling me there's like the Mega Man collection, which didn't play well on GameCube, but we'd have to figure out if that was a collection or not. In terms of side scrollers.
Okay,
there were some. Never mind.
There's like weirdly not a ton.
Yeah.
So it should be.
I don't
easy.
Think I played any side scrolling games on GameCube, so.
I'm trying to remember my library.
Yeah.
I have so many GameCube games at home, and I feel like you picked the one I knew.
What about...
It was Ikaruga, but that's a shooter, right?
That is a shooter. A shooter. You wouldn't have included that one. a third party.
Can I ask a question?
Role. Yes. Is that's the whole point of this game?
Is this game part of a collection?
No.
Oh.
That's so, 11.
So that rules out Mega Man.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, this is a tough one. This you is picked really a hard. Tough game. You
probably, I didn't.
You probably thought you picked something easy.
When you guys get this game, and you will we're gonna, get it, we're gonna you're going to yeah, you're gonna be mad.
This is really dumb?
No.
Was that a question?
No.
Third party. So did we ask if it's from Japan?
I asked if it was a JRPG.
Is it a Japanese game?
Hi.
Okay.
Okay, so...
It's a Japanese game.
For our English listeners, so let's think. Yes.
So let's think of Capcom and what they have in their site.
Oh, I know what it is. I know what it is. It's. Can I ask?
Go ahead.
Why don't you whittle it down first? Because okay, can you
I,
lose,
can
right?
I whittle it down?
Yeah.
Can you slow down and speed up time in this game?
Oh. Yes.
Is it Beautiful Joe?
Yes, it is.
Yeah!
Oh, my God.
There you go.
That's all I needed. That's all
was
I
right? Do you have this game? Is it not?
I did.
Of course,
I lied. I did play this game. Mm-hmm. The 1-2D scroller.
So I told Justin Davis, GameScoop aficionado and regular panelist, yesterday that we were doing 20 questions, and he was like, "Oh, what's your game?" He got it in 9 yesterday.
Yeah. Well, they're really good.
Yeah.
They didn't get you into the. They did Enter the Gungeon once. They
I know
didn't
that
get
was
it.
Insane. You yeah. got
oh,
it in,
really?
Pear got it in like 4 questions.
What?
It was insane. Yeah.
How?
He's very smart.
I said, is it? Is it a shooter? And they're like, yes. I'm like, okay, Enter the Gungeon.
It wasn't exactly like that.
I had like a buzzer beater on that show where it was like the 20th question, and I was like, is it Karnov for the NES? And they're like, oh. Yeah. And I was like, ah.
I did that on my last episode of GameScoop. I got Godzilla Destroy All Monsters on the 20th.
Oh, wow. I remember that one.
Yeah, me neither.
Yeah.
Okay. So the last thing that we're going to do is play a whole different game that we like to play here on NBC. And that's a game that I like to call the question block.
Oh, that's not a game.
Even more questions for you. So we
picked. Is this a first or third party game?
This is a third party game. So first question comes from Brandon Ray, who says, what is the biggest aha or awesome moment in a game? Which one and what moment where you just sat back and said, wow, good or bad, lol?
Limiting into Nintendo world or all
no, the... No, just any game.
I mean, I'll give you anything. I thought the dead giant in God of War was freaking amazing.
Okay, that's
like,
cool. That's
that was so cool. But in Nintendo world, I would say it was coming over the crest of a hill in Breath of the Wild and seeing a dragon.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
Like the first time you see a dragon, you're like,
that was
how
really
was
cool.
this
that
hiding
was
really in this cool. world?
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Two quick ones. One is probably the first time I moved the joystick in Super Mario 64 and found out you could like tiptoe and that like the angle you push it in, he would like creep along or run. And the other one, and I don't want to spoil it because I hope this game comes to Switch eventually, is the way the final boss fight against Ganon plays out in The Legend of Zelda The Wind Waker. There is a specific thing that happens at the end of that fight
that
just made my jaw drop that it was even in a game that looked like this.
Everybody is like, oh, geez.
Yeah.
That's funny. My moment is from The Wind Waker as well.
Oh.
And that's the moment that you discover, well, if you're not doing spoilers, I can't
the
do spoilers.
The castle?
Yeah, when you go to the castle and it's all in monochrome.
Oh, that's so good.
And then when you take the sword from the pedestal, all the characters come back to life and the color creeps back in. God, that was so cool.
That gives me goosebumps.
That is such
that.
A great moment when you arrive in that and you're like, oh my God.
Mm-hmm. Dude, I remember I was playing that on like a tiny 14-inch like CRT TV that I got that literally somebody in New York City threw out. And I was just sitting in my dorm room like playing that. And I remember that happening.
You're like the most textbook art student I've ever met in my life.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm up
Also, I discovering Star Road on Super Mario World after having completed that game probably a dozen times
that
over the
really
course
cool
of a year or more as a kid, when I realized that there was like an alternate exit that led to a whole other world that I'd never played before, I remember setting the controller down and being like, what?
Same.
And telling my mom or my dad, like, oh my God, there's a whole new world. They're like, we don't care.
Yeah.
Casey.
This is a tough one.
In Monster Hunter World, when you first see...
Hey, no. Man, so this is going to
be Dracarys in a second.
No, this is going to be a sad aw moment.
Aw, boo.
In Shadow of the Colossus.
Ah, yes.
Can I do spoilers? Like,
yeah, you might as well.
Yeah.
All right. Game. Fast forward 30 seconds if you don't want to hear Shadow of the Colossus, and you should have already played. The shame on you.
So at the very end of the game, you're riding around with your horse Aggro. It's the only other character in the game that your character interacts with the entire time. and the floor below you collapses on the way to the final boss, mm-hmm. and your horse falls to presumably its death. And that moment just made me like put my controller down and just sit there with I can't believe that just happened.
So awful.
That was such a mean thing for them to do.
Yeah.
Very, very sad.
But it sets the tone for what follows.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good game.
Mm-hmm. And I do have another individual awe moment. The first time I ran into a shiny Pokemon in the wild, it was a shiny Absol, which is my icon on IGN.com still.
Okay.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a very happy moment. I like caught it and then immediately called all of my friends to tell them I caught a shiny Absol.
And that camp.
Hey, where were you the first time you saw your first shiny Absol?
I was at a bar.
Okay.
I like your wholesome choice.
Yeah, that's very great. Good. Stephen Redgrave writes in and asks, Thanos just did the snap, but you can protect three Nintendo characters from being dusted. Who are they?
I like this better than the wizard that kept showing up in the last few episodes.
Man.
My three are, off the top of my head, I'll say Toon Link, Mario, and Samus.
Yeah, those are safe ones.
I would do Link,
sure.
Mm-hmm.
Samus.
Mm-hmm.
And Mario.
And Dark Link.
Okay.
Oh, what?
Dark Link? Yeah. Why so Dark Link?
You want Mario games?
Without the Dark Link, regular Link isn't good.
Okay, pair.
So Mario games just go away forever?
Yes.
No, just the characters.
You could just play as Luigi.
Mario will have Luigi in it.
Yeah.
I didn't even think about that.
Or Samus.
Yeah.
Huh. That's
right.
Wait, these guys disappear? Or are
they just the characters dusted, are gone.
These are the characters you're protecting.
Protecting.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. I would have to say probably
Duck Hunt,
Samus, Link, and Mario.
Okay, great.
It's a safe choice.
Link? No, wait. Young Link.
Here we go.
Young Link.
Uh-huh.
Pikachu.
Great.
Okay.
Oh, we forgot about all those.
I mean, there's too many.
That's going to be a sad Pokemon game.
I know. Just Pikachu.
You caught a Pikachu.
Oh, no.
One more. Absol.
Kirby.
Shiny. Kirby?
Yeah.
If you have Kirby, that's the end of days.
No, without Kirby, all of the other characters would have died in the World of Light.
That's true.
With Kirby, the world ends, too.
Okay, the next question comes from Ian Thomas. No, I'm sorry. The next question comes from Javier Bonet. And this is a little bit tailored for me because it's my last episode, but it's a good question for all of us. What moment for you defines your experience at IGN?
Hmm. Oh, you're looking at me?
I'm looking at you, Pear.
Probably the excitement around system launches. And for me, it was in the early days when we literally stood in line to get these machines and we didn't have early access. And we're just hanging out with fans and, you know, like with any of the Nintendo console launches, it was just a party. Everybody knew our site. It's a different world now, all the kids with their YouTubes and everything. And just picking up the first system and then just running home or running to the office and hooking it up and just getting impressions out there. That was really cool. And everybody worked. It was like people at 2 a.m. in the office writing up impressions and all that. That was cool.
It's very good.
About 4 or 5 E3s ago, Jose Otero and I were at the Nintendo booth ready to do an interview in their like kind of private PR area. And they brought us upstairs and their PR guy walked us down the hall and opened up the door and we sat down and the door opened again and it was Bill Trent and then Shigeru Miyamoto and they came in and sat down with us for an hour-long interview and it was like surreal and we all just hung out and laughed and talked about Nintendo and Star Fox and it was like and I took a photo with Miyamoto which I can never do with anybody and it was just like one of the most genuine wonderful magical moments. And every E3 has been worse since.
Jose did a similarly cool thing for me. That's not my moment that I was going to talk about, but it reminded me. My first E3, we had an interview scheduled with Miyamoto as well. And Jose kind of pre-briefed me on it. He's like, look, we have 30 minutes. We have to be in and out, like, quick. Like, don't talk to him. Don't, like, fan out about it. Like, Jose was very, very strict about, like, not, you know, like, just set up your camera, get your shot, and, like we got to go. And at the end of the interview, Jose was like, oh, as I was packing up my gear, he was like, by the way, Zach is a big Nintendo fan and would love to meet you. And I just thought that was like the sweetest thing. Mm. Like he had been planning it all along. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. And it was just like a really cool. And I also got a photo with Miyamoto at
It's the best. Wow.
But from that same E3, the moment that like I still and forever will think of IGN when I think about this moment, the first E3 that I worked was 2015. And the Nintendo had just revealed Super Mario Maker and was doing the Nintendo World Championship.
Oh, yeah.
And Brian and I and Brandon Tyrell and a couple other folks were watching the last round of the World Championships, and like the levels were absolutely nuts. And it was just an entire room full of people screaming and losing their mind about Mario.
That was amazing.
And I remember, like, in that moment looking around and thinking, like, oh, I've arrived. Like, this is, like, these are my people. This is where I've been trying to get to for so, so long. And, like, it was just such a cool moment. And there's a GIF of the three of us freaking out about it somewhere floating around out there. Yeah.
Dude, there's a chance that that's going to happen again this year.
Yeah, for sure.
That's so cool.
Yeah, that will forever be, like, the moment that, like, IGN really clicked for me. Mm-hmm. But, yeah.
Nice. Yeah, well, come back this year and we'll yell at the TV.
Yeah, come on to our studio when you're done with your junk.
With my junk.
With your E3 junk.
Casey?
So my very first month at IGN, my first week at IGN was the week they did the Nintendo Switch reveal presentation. Mm. So
that January, yeah.
Yeah, in January. So my very first week, it was 9 p.m. when they did the presentation. I was here in the office with everyone covering the Nintendo Switch reveal. And with the whole, that was when they showed the first long Breath of the Wild trailer as well. And I was like holding back tears because of how beautiful it was. Mm-hmm. And it was amazing to see other people around me have the same reaction and same excitement. And then immediately as soon as it was done, or even while it was going, people laser focused into work and getting things done as quickly and fast and efficiently as possible, mm-hmm. while still having the passion about what was going on around
that them. Was the night we did our pre and post show,
yeah, mm-hmm. live,
and yeah. I was hosting that, and we all during the post show, we're pre-ordering or trying to pre-order Switches
that too.
Like on our phones and our laptops.
If you go back and
everyone
watch,
everyone was doing it.
If you go back and watch that post show, it's really funny because like Brian and Pear and Alana are all on the show like this, like
we're like
trying like talk like oh yeah that was really great, that was a cool but just trying to get it.
Yeah, I think Sam was like, you know, it's really cool and you can use it at home and you can use it on the go. And we're like, that's great.
Keep talking,
got it.
Sam.
There's also a really funny news video from that night where Naomi Kyle is talking about a Switch game or a news breakout or something like that. And I'm just in the background, just staring down the camera lens, eating pizza because it was like 12:30 in the morning and everybody had lost their minds. It was
there's pizza.
Yeah. It's when you start talking about moments, there's so many.
There's
our 20th anniversary party was amazing.
That was really
cool.
But
like even things where we're sitting there and we're about to hit publish on our April Fool's video and we send out a fake Zelda trailer to the masses and we're like, oh man, what have we done?
There's this collective like holding of breath that happens where you're like, here we go. Like, that's true.
Yeah. There are lots of wonderful moments.
Which brings me to the last question today from Ian Thomas. What will you take away from IGN, physically or metaphorically? Physically, I'm planning on stealing that giant Samus statue that we have in the content
over my dead
the
body.
Editorial pit.
We'd notice that one.
Yeah, I'm gonna take that one.
That's
so
a
just
special
so you know.
Edition that lights up.
I know
too.
It's very expensive. Metaphorically,
put it away,
Brian.
Brian, lock it.
I think the biggest takeaway for me is just you guys. Like the friendships I've made here are without a doubt like some of the best and longest lasting friendships that I'll ever have. And like, it's been such an honor and such an awesome experience, both professionally and personally working here. And I'm really going to miss you guys, but I'm getting choked up talking.
Yeah.
But I love you guys and I love this show and it's been really, really awesome to have an opportunity to work with you guys.
We're going
to
miss
and
you
be
too,
your friends. And with that is my final episode of Nintendo Voice Chat. Thank you guys so, so much for being so supportive. And
Zach, we love you, and we're going to miss you like hell, for real.
Yeah, seriously.
Thank you.
Real quick, before we go, I want to say one of my favorite moments in history at IGN, I didn't get to say it before, was doing Link Together with Zach.
Yeah.
Which was, 16 episodes of us from start to finish beating The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild while each holding a Joy-Con and operating Link's body in different parts of our minds. And it
I
was
love
pure
that
chaos.
Series. Yeah. I can't believe not more people watch that.
Yeah. Well, it's there forever, so go look it up.
It'll be there.
Get those legacy views.
Yeah.
But
Zach, thank you for just...
Thank you so much. Yeah.
Thank you.
For everything you've done for this show, as a friend, and just, you know, bringing your passion and your insight and everything to this place for so long and making it, leaving it a better place than how you started it.
I like how you tried to get out of the show quick and not let us say anything.
I really don't want to cry in front of you guys. All right. This is Nintendo Voice Chat, IGN's Nintendo show, weekly Thursdays at 3 p.m. Casey, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at ShinyKCD.
Brian?
Agent Bizzle.
Pear?
Perrigan.
Perrigan.
Pear IGN.
And I am forever at Zacharias the... Thank you guys so much. And come back next week. I will not be here, but my friends will continue to
get the thing.
Get it.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it. Or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz and how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.